In our current Season for Nonviolence series, we're drawing from the work of Valerie Carr. She wrote the book See No Stranger. It's a memoir and a manifesto of revolutionary love. That's actually the subtitle. The title See No Stranger actually comes or is inspired by a Sikh Shabad, which is their scriptures, and she is, of course, a member of that faith. And what fueled her work, what fueled this whole book and the films she's made and everything else that she's done as an activist was the anti-Muslim violence that occurred right after 9/11. It affected not only Muslims, but also people of the Sikh faith and South Asian Hindus and lots of other folks. Valerie toured the country to grieve with people who had lost loved ones. She recorded their stories, and it became her first film, Divided We Fall. Then she traveled to speak all around the country at college campuses. It's amazing to me to note that she was a college student when she began all of this. And she didn't want to alienate her audiences when she spoke, so she never really named the elephant in the room. She said she would find ways to talk about hate in America without ever saying white supremacy. But she found that in time, that even though she wanted to believe this idea that we could heal without that and that we could join hands, she said specifically, we would only have to find common ground to heal our nation, and I believed we could, and that individual connections could transcend systems of injustice, that we would join hands and look to the future without ever having to reckon with the past. But what she learned is that we can't have reconciliation unless we also have truth. That's why the commission that was formed, the hearings that happened in South Africa after apartheid, were called the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. Because it is key to heal and to move forward that the truth be spoken, that it be laid bare. What happened that was hurtful? How were people harmed? That we at least take that in and bear witness to that so that we can then heal and move forward. That's that piece about grieving with others. And by doing so, then we enter into a field of truth and accountability. And in that field, then, true reconciliation can happen. Forgiveness, perhaps, healing in whatever forms it takes, and it frees us then to move forward together. In the presence of that kind of open-hearted truth-telling, we root out that great lie, that great spiritual, the greatest sin, if you will, of all, that we are separate from each other. And its cousin, that some lives are more important or more valuable than other lives. In this series so far, we've wondered about others. We've grieved with others. We've listened to our opponents. And today, we stand up. The framers of the U.S. Constitution and the writers of the Declaration of Independence, such as Thomas Jefferson, wrote really spiritually minded, I mean high-minded stuff, right? Inspirational words that felt like they captured these ideals that we all could stand up in with a confidence and a faith and a sense of pride. Words like we the people, in order to form a more perfect union. Or all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. Rights like pursuing life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And as the slaveholder, Jefferson recognized his own hypocrisy. He owned something like 600 slaves. And so he could hear his own words and see his own actions, but he wasn't willing to reconcile those two. He wrote that he hoped future generations would get it right. I think he envisioned generations a little closer to his. But here we are. Maybe we will be the generation who finally gets it right. Last month was Black History Month. This month is Women's History Month. And at the intersection of those two characteristics are some amazing individuals who have worked courageously to free us all. One of these is Harriet Tubman. You probably know about her. Reverend Andriette Earle wrote about her in the February issue of Science of Mind magazine. She talked about how, telling a little bit of Harriet's story, how, of course, she freed herself as a slave, she escaped, but as if that wasn't enough, with all that pain and possible enslavement again, the possibility of losing her life and her freedom again, she went back over 19 times and freed over 300 other slaves. That is some amazing courage and chutzpah. That is some amazing vision that allowed her to carry through with that. She was a deeply spiritual woman. In this photo, Reverend Andriette Earle is standing in front of a painting of Harriet Tubman. That's actually over in Oakland. It's at the Heart and Soul Center of Light. And it's where Andriette is the minister. And in that spiritual community, Harriet Tubman is their matron saint. I love that they've claimed Harriet as their matron saint. Our goddaughter Grace was over last month, and she was on Monday, had her online class for second grade. I was curious what was going on in second grade, so I pulled up a chair with my cup of tea and got just off the video so I could see what was going on. And they were learning about Harriet Tubman. And I could feel the weight for her teacher to navigate this sensitive subject with a bunch of wide-eyed second graders. How would she break it to some of them for the first time hearing that this was a part of our real past, this slavery, this thing we did that was so ugly? I heard one little boy say, "It's hard to believe that really happened." And then a video started playing, an animated film of Harriet's life. It showed her as a slave and the rest of her family and other slaves and, of course, the white owners doing what they did. And Grace said, "All the white people are being mean to all the brown people." I didn't know what to say, and luckily the video just continued on because I could feel the gravity of that realization in her innocent eyes and her innocent heart in that moment. The video then moved on to Harriet freeing herself and then going back and freeing others. And in the video, it showed that there were all kinds of people helping, pointing the slaves to hiding places and then pointing the way out when it was safe to do so. I said to Grace, "Did you notice that some of the helpers are white people too?" She said, "Oh, yeah." And then she breathed this audible sigh of relief. It's hard for us to confront these truths. It's hard for us to confront our history, but it's not just our history. It happens. This ongoing issue happens day after day after day. But it's important that we look, right? It's part of the truth and the reconciliation that go together. And as we look and realize that we can be helpers too, we can all breathe a little bit of a sigh of relief. Now, some people don't have the luxury of that sigh of relief, and we can be there for them. So, Stand Up is also the theme song for the film Harriet from 2019. You might have seen it. Sharon D. Henderson and Reflection are going to perform it for us now. Let's take a look.
With my face turned to the sun, weight on my shoulder, gotta do what must be done. Oh, I got eyes in the back of my head, just in case I have to run. I do what I can while I can, when I can, for my people. When the clouds roll back and the stars fill the night, that's when I'm gonna stand up, take my people with me. Together we are going to a brand new home. Far across the river, I hear freedom calling, calling me to answer. Gotta keep on keeping on. I can feel it in my bones. Solution, and I'll fight with the strength that I got until I die. So I'm gonna stand up, take my people with me. Together we are going to a brand new home. Far across the river, you hear freedom calling, calling me to
Harriet Tubman used her spiritual guidance. She used her courage. She used her faith, her determined sense of purpose to fulfill her brave mission in life. At Unity of Walnut Creek, we have an inspirational mission. It's who we have come to be as a community. We've named it this way. We are a loving, inclusive community, expanding and living our divinity. And that third clause is why. Why are we that? Why do we exist? In sacred service for all. As James 2:26 puts it bluntly, faith without works is dead. If we don't have that action piece, if we don't have that follow through, if we aren't living the truth, then, well, it's a nice theory, right? It's a nice concept. It's a nice quiet idea that we sat with at home. It's the action, it's the expression, it's the embodiment that brings faith alive, that makes it, gives it legs. It's the beauty of being a spiritual being in this physical experience, to have the gift of the physical experience and the physical body temple. In Unity, we consider Jesus a way shower, and he really showed us how to live this mission out loud. You know, he showed us that to be a loving and inclusive community, what does it look like? He welcomed all kinds of people into his circle. He welcomed people that were unpopular in the day. Tax collectors and prostitutes became a part of his circle of friends. He showed us on numerous occasions how to expand and live your divinity. The key piece being, don't forget who you are. Remember the truth of who you are. And then you can perform the kinds of healings that he was able to extend. You can resurrect life. He showed us how to treat others, how to see the truth and call it forth, how to see the very best in people. He didn't take credit for things. He just said, it's the peace in you. It's by your faith that you are healed. It's the power within you. Again and again, he pointed it back to us. How to expand and live your divinity and how to be that expression in the world. And finally, he repeatedly showed us how to live a life that is about being in sacred service for all. He said he showed us how to stand up for others, how to speak spiritual truth to worldly power. Over and over again, with bravery, he called out the hypocrisy of the Sadducees and the Pharisees. They were the rulers, the scribes, the lawyers, the judges, the priests of the day. They were the ones that held worldly power. But he would call them out and say, you know, you're all about the letter of the law, and you've completely forgot the spirit of the law. And it was out of the spirit of law, out of the truth that he could feel in his heart and soul, and so could the rest of the people, that he spoke, that he was willing to stand up, no matter the consequences, for the good, the greater good of all people. That's a demonstration of how to be in sacred service for all. He stood up for people that weren't supported by his own people, the Samaritans, in particular the Samaritan woman at the well, the women who were stoned to death for adultery, like the woman who he stopped and asked everybody, let he who has not sinned cast the first stone, and everybody dropped their rocks and went home. Or like the Roman centurion, who didn't necessarily have the same ideas of the people that he hung out with, maybe were considered the enemy by some. But he just saw the truth of whatever somebody presented with, the truth of their divinity, their holisticness, and acted and related from that place. That's being in sacred service to all. Jesus summed up his own life mission by saying, I was born for this. I came into this world to testify to the truth. We testify to the truth by living it to the best of our ability, by letting our life be the message of truth, speaking up and standing up, even when it's hard. When we keep the spiritual truth of oneness at the forefront of our minds, it's easier for us then to act. If we remember, oh, right, I'm acting from that precept, that idea, that truth that I know in my heart that we are all one, and we can get over then some of our stuff between one another and reach toward one another or stand for one another. We're much more likely to take those kinds of actions when we remember our spiritual grounding, the truth by which we are acting and moving and speaking in the world. Valerie Carr says, shallow solidarity is the kind that is broadly based on the logic of exchange. You show up for me, and I'll show up for you. But she said, deep solidarity is rooted in recognition. I show up for you because you are a part of me. It's a spiritual understanding, and without the power of that spiritual understanding, we'll give up or we'll burn out. One roadblock to being active in our spirituality is that we tend to even separate ourselves in the spiritual field, right? We're either contemplatives or we're activists. But the truth is we are both. We must be both. It's the second wave of spirituality, as Chris Sade says. If we tend to both, if we look at both, we can see that as contemplatives, yes, we meditate and we pray to experience peace. We meditate and pray to clear our minds. We pray to uplift others, to bless others' lives. But that's not where it stops. We also meditate and pray to replenish, to re-energize, to receive guidance so that we can act, so that we can move in the world and serve and stand up and speak up like Jesus, our way shower, showed us to do, and so many others like Harriet Tubman. And you can name all your heroes and heroines. And so it is with that that we can act with a more holistic spirituality if we see our spirituality in this way, that yes, we receive, and the other part is we give out. We receive and we give out. We're in that constant flow of circulation, of abundance. So what are some things that we could do to be more active, an active expression of our spirituality? And I'm leaning there because I know most of us Unitics lean the other way. Most of us come in with a sort of contemplative kind of focus, right? We love the mystics and the metaphysics, and we don't want to give up any of that, nor should we, because it fuels our action. But we can't stop short and just stay in our safe places because we have so much to give. Our teachings can light up this world and help heal this world. But how will anybody ever know? Because unity is the best kept secret. We used to joke about it in ministerial school, silent unity. Well, guess what? Nobody knows about unity because we're so silent. So we need to find that brave space within us that can stand, that can move in the world, that can be that space, that next generation that can finally heal the things that ail us as a nation, as communities, in families and organizations, in our own souls. So we can start by stopping. And what I mean by that is stop doing the harmful things. Here's a few examples, or two specifically. So someone stood up to those who created the Nextdoor app and pointed out, to make them accountable, pointed out that people on the app were posting all the time things that sounded a lot like racial profiling. Things like, I just saw somebody suspicious walk by my front, you know, door or the front of my house down the street. Or I just saw somebody suspicious in the park. And so Nextdoor took it upon themselves after somebody stood up and spoke, and they stood up on behalf of the people that were being profiled. And they required that people say something specific about what the action is that is so suspicious. What is the person doing that is suspicious? And guess what? Once they made that requirement, the racial profiling plummeted 75%. By just getting us to pause, we can override our implicit biases, that subconscious mind, and we can move into another place that says, oh, I don't know why I said that. That person wasn't doing anything but walking down the street. I'm not going to bother to post that again. So that's one example of what can happen. And the adage then became not, you've probably heard the adage, when you see something, say something. So the new adage is, when you see something suspicious, say something specific. Also, did you know that more police violence is a result of people calling 911 than it is the police pulling people over? That surprising statistic was shared by Baratunde Thurston, who is a comedian and a writer. And it empowered me to hear it, and I hope it does you too, to realize that ordinary citizens can make a bigger difference to curb police violence than the police force itself, in this, at least in this context. And if we consider then the impact that it will have on somebody who's being accused, if they're a person of color in particular, when we call 911, maybe we could pause a minute and ask ourselves, is the best solution to this situation calling the armed police officers in? Or could this situation maybe be resolved peacefully another way? We won't know unless we drop into the wisdom within us and take a moment to look and to see what Spirit guides us to do. Standing up for others involves the same actions that all of our spiritual approaches do. Stop doing what causes harm and start doing what helps. We do it within ourselves, and we do it in our relationships, and now we just roll it out a little further, out into the world at large. Stop doing what causes harm and start doing what helps. So it can be a bit overwhelming to think about, to feel like we're being encouraged to speak on the behalf of whole groups of people who we might not even have much interaction with on a day-to-day basis, which is something we can do about there too. But that's beside the point, I want to make right here, which is that Mother Teresa said, if I look at the mass, I will never act. But if I look at the one, I will. So if we can just think of one person we know, one person in our spiritual community who might be harmed by everyday oppression, and we could hold that person in our heart, maybe an image of them, or maybe a dear friend or someone who's in your life, and just know that that's a touchstone, a place you can go back to know I am acting on behalf of the one. Years ago, I went on a 9-day meditation retreat, and the instructor on the first day said, drop in and see who you are doing this meditation practice. On whose behalf are you doing this on? Why do you want to do this work? To make the world a better place for who? Who do you want to do this for? And that was so helpful. My little godson, Seth, came into my mind. He was like 3 or 4 at the time. And throughout, whenever the practice got hard, I would just, Seth's little face would come into my mind, and I could keep on going. And so it's a similar idea, you know, just have somebody in your heart, in your mind, and bring that image in, and you can carry on, you can do the hard things, because it will make a difference in that one person's life. It will release possibly years and weights off their shoulders by acting in such a way on behalf of others. And it's never just on behalf of others. We realize that, right? It's always helping us too, because our liberation is bound up together. So in the spirit of Mother Teresa, we can do this. And we can also even think of a child in our lives. And I know a lot of our folks have grandchildren. So you have beloved children in your lives, even if, you know, no matter what their color is, no matter what their religious affiliation is, you could bring that child into your mind to know that you are helping create a better world for them. And that alone can be a great inspiration and motivation for us to act in more bold ways, maybe than we would otherwise. The Latin root of the word power is to be able. And we do have the power to use our voice, to find our voice, to speak up and to speak out, to act whenever and wherever the opportunity arises. And when we begin to look around, we see that there are many opportunities for us to do so. We can stand up by showing up in life for all people. We can stand up by pausing and dropping into our divine wisdom and then speaking and acting from there. We can follow the authenticity of our own hearts and speak out of that space. And we can speak spiritual truth to worldly power. And we'll remember always while we're doing so that we're not just helping others, we are also helping ourselves, because our liberation is bound up together. So as we speak our affirmation, let's really feel into this, to know this truth, to breathe life into it, to see how we might act this week, how we might stand up for someone, which means standing up for all of us. So together, I'll say the affirmation once. I speak the truth and stand up for others to liberate us all. Let's say it together. I speak the truth and stand up for others to liberate us all. And so it is.